For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord.
Undoubtedly, this particular passage of Scripture is talking about Jesus Christ. When the angel spoke to Mary, he used the same language, saying that the child that will be born of her womb, a little human baby, will be really the Son of God and will be raised up to sit upon the throne of his father David. And on that throne, he will reign forever and ever. The Bible is all about the kingdom of God. That is a notion that escapes us quite a bit because we don't really understand some of the things that are involved in royalty. In fact, these four titles that are listed here are throne names of royalty. Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor. In other words, he's the one who works wonders, and he is his own source of wisdom and counsel. Other kings need a council of advisors, but this king has the wisdom within himself to rule justly, righteously, completely, thoroughly, compassionately. He is the mighty God, literally the warrior God. He goes forth to fight the battles for his people. The king always led the people into battle. And Jesus Christ is that warrior who fights our battles and defeats our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, including and especially the last enemy, which is death. The third throne name for Jesus is listed here now. The Everlasting Father. The Everlasting Father. Now that may be confusing to us a little bit because we don't think of him as the Father. We think of Jesus as the Son. For our triune God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In what sense then is Jesus a father? Well, remember, these are throne names for Jesus. These are names and titles that are given to his royal office as king. And in the ancient world, the king was seen as a royal father of a nation. The word father means the authority, the author, the one who is the layer of the foundation, the one who sets the standard and the boundaries. In the Scriptures, the word father is used very richly. And it's used in phrases like in the book of Job. Job was a father to the poor. He provided for the poor. He gave to the poor. He looked out after the interest of the poor. The term is used in Scripture of a master over his servant or over his disciple. He's the father. Abraham is seen as a spiritual father, not just a physical father. The seed of Abraham is a spiritual seed. He is the father of those who believe and are accounted righteous or just by their faith. The father of the faithful. And Jesus is a father in that sense. He's the father of a new nation. The nation that God promised Abraham in the covenant is inhabited by people who have faith in God. regardless of their physical lineage. And Jesus is coming to establish a new nation over which he is the head. This passage speaks of the kingdom of God. It says, the increase of his government will have no end. The throne of David, his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it. That is the work of the Father of a nation. We even speak in our Democratic Republic terms of George Washington as being the father of the nation, because he was so foundational in the Continental Congress, in the Revolutionary War, and in the establishment of the new nation under the Constitution, and served as its first president. We think of him as the father of our nation. In such greater way is Christ the father of a new nation, because he is, in the second place, the progenitor of a new humanity. The progenitor of a new humanity. The Father is the begetter. He's the one that gives life to his offspring. And this is the role of Christ. He came that he might be the firstborn among many brethren and bring many sons to glory. Jesus is the progenitor, the father of a new humanity. These are not anything other than profundities. This is profound stuff. The father of the human race, Adam, a creature, an upright creature, failed in his probation, failed in his test, sinned and fell, and ruined his stock. But Christ came and was obedient, perfectly obedient, well-pleasing to the Father, resisted in his temptations, obeyed the Lord, and brought life to his people by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus is a begetter of a new humanity. And the Apostle Paul speaks over and over and over of this in these terms. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Jesus is spoken of in the scripture as a new Adam, the progenitor, the father of a new humanity. Interesting little phrase in Isaiah's prophecy, in Isaiah 53, that great passage which speaks of Christ and his atoning work, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. There's a little phrase in there that says, he shall see his offspring. He shall see his offspring. Are you this morning? Do you know yourself to be the offspring of Christ? Is he the giver of the life that you have? Is he the one who has bestowed upon you your eternal life? When we think of a father, we think of not only a begetter, but someone who loves with an unconditional and everlasting and a sacrificial love. And that's what Jesus does for each one of us. We think of a father, we think of a provider. Someone who provides every need that we have. And that's what Jesus does for us. When we think of a father, we think of a protector. Someone who will defend his possession against all intruders. One of the greatest failings of Adam was he did not protect his wife from the serpent. And Jesus gave his life to protect his bride from the serpent. And that's what he does for us every day. He protects us from the evil one. When George Frederick Handel came to write his Messiah, we all are familiar with the Hallelujah Chorus, the last chorus, the last part of the piece. Handel found his text in the book of Revelation. And it says, "The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and His Christ. And He shall reign